Kringle Talks Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network. You can find all of our episodes on ChristmasPodcastNetwork.com and follow us on Twitter at Christmas Talks. That's KRISTMAS Talks. This is our new Christmas episode. Sit back, grab a hot drink, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Kringle Talks Christmas.
Over 100 years ago, Cecil James Sharp, 1859 to 1924, England's most prolific folk music and dance collector of what is now widely known as the First Folk Revival, visited Camden, Gloucestershire, England, to seek out Lowestoft music and dance. On January 13, 1909, he talked to Mrs. Mary Clayton in Sheep Street. She sang him a carol she remembered from her childhood, and the tune was the Holly and the Ivy tune we recognise today, but the words were not quite those we know today. The Holly and the Berry, as red as any blood, and Mary Rose, sweet Jesus Christ, for to do poor sinners good. The holly hath a prickle, as sharp as any thorn, and Mary Rose, sweet Jesus Christ, on Christmas Day in the morn. The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, but of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. The Holly and the Ivy is a traditional British folk Christmas carol, listed as number 514 in the Rude Folk Song Index. The song can be traced only as far as the early 19th century, but the lyrics reflect an association between holly and Christmas dating at least as far as the medieval times. The lyrics and melody varied significantly in traditional communities, but the song has since become standardised. The word of the carol occur in three broadsides published in Birmingham in the early 19th century. As early mention of the carol's title occurs in William Hone's 1823 work, Ancient Mysteries, described, which includes the Holly and the Ivy, now are both well grown, among an alphabetical list of Christmas carols, now annually printed, that were in the author's possession. The complete words of the carol are found in a book review dating back from 1849. In which the reviewer suggested using the text of the Holly and the Ivy in place of one of the readings found in the book under discussion. The anonymous reviewer introduced the lyrics of carol such, thus, instead of passages from Bernard Barton, however, and Mary Howitt, we think we could have gathered more from the 17th century poets, and especially might larger use have been made of that touchingly simple class of religious ballads, which under the name of carols, etc., is so rife and throughout the rural districts and the humbler quarters of England's great towns. Many of these are only orally preserved, but with a little trouble, a large number might well be recovered. We have before us, at this time, a collection of carols printed in the cheapest form at Birmingham, uniting, for the most part, extreme simplicity, with distinct doctrinal teaching, a combination which constitutes the excellence of a popular religious literature. From this little volume we will extract one which might well take the place of a passage from Milton for Christmas Day. It is called The Holly and the Ivy. The words of the carol were included until the 1861 collection, A Garland of Christmas Carols, where it is claimed to originate from an old broadside printed a century and a half since, i.e. around 1711. Husk's 1864 Songs of the Nativity also includes the carol, stating, "This carol appears to have nearly escaped the notice of collectors, as it has been reprinted by one alone who states his copy to have been taken from an old broadside printed a century and a half since. It is still retained on the broadsides printed at Birmingham. Early English lyrics by Chambers and Sidgwick, published in 1907, repeat Husk's statement. But why the holly and why ivy? Holly can grow as a tree, or it may be part of a hedge restrained by cutting and shaping. Its dense mass of prickle-edged leaves acts as a barrier, a natural barbed wire, and its red berries glitter with welcome colour even on the darkest winter days. Ivy, with its prolific climbing habit, can, given the chance, rapidly overwhelm walls and hedges and is often treated as a nuisance or simply ignored. It is, though, covered in flowers in the autumn, providing late season pollen and nectar for insects, and its dark berries are relished by birds in the winter. The Christmas significance of the two plants derives from the evergreen nature. Both bear shiny green leaves, seemingly brimming with life throughout the winter, when most other plants and trees are leafless. Holly and ivy were popularly gathered along with mistletoe and other evergreen to decorate churches, houses, and streets at Christmas time, from at least the early as the 16th century and probably before. This custom may be a relic of pagan midwinter celebrations, and the evergreen symbolizing rebirth, the return of the light and the greening of the landscape in spring. The custom survives, and holly and mistletoe, both preferably with berries, are still used as Christmas decorations, although ivy seems to have fallen out of fashion. But what about the words of the carol? Perhaps we shouldn't delve too deeply into such a traditional song, but the first verse does seem counterintuitive. Holly is a large tree and unlike a dominant all others, and then this verse contains the only reference to ivy in the entire song. The refrain contains some pleasant imagery, but it also seems out of place. And the editors of the New Oxford Book of Carols believe it may have been a later addition to older medieval words. Overall, though, the carol tells the story of Christ's life interwoven with the life of the holly tree. So, verse 2, "The holly bears a blossom as white as the lily flower," refers to the white flowers born on the bush in late spring, with white signifying the purity of Mary and Jesus. Verse 3, "The holly bears a berry as red as many blood," refers to Christ's blood. Verse 4, "The holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn," refers to the crown of thorns. And verse 5, "The holly bears a bark as bitter as any gall," it's another reference to the crucifixation. The holly and the ivy is also one of several carols from medieval England that tells of the rivalry between holly and ivy for mastery of the forest. A contest with its origins in ancient folklore. In the holly and the ivy, the holly bears the crown. So winning the contest, perhaps that's why we hear no more about the ivy. Holly was also traditionally seen as a masculine symbol, perhaps because of its stouter, prickly leaves, and ivy a feminine symbol with its softer leaves. The carol may therefore contain a gentle reference to the ups and downs of relationships between men and women. So in the holly and the ivy, we have a much loved traditional Christmas carol, suffused with Christian and pre-Christian symbolism. Even among the approaching Christmas glamour, the song never fails to bring pleasure, whichever version we choose to sing. And that's it for another episode. As we delve more into the Christmas season, I will be producing more episodes on a more frequent basis. I do hope you have enjoyed this episode. I hope to see you again soon. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Christmas Talks, K-R-I-S-T-E-M-A-S Talks, and whenever you get your podcasts. I'm also on the Christmas Podcast Network, a whole host of Christmas podcasts, the best from around the world, and me. Until next time, guys, I will leave you with Bing Crosby's version of the Holly and the Ivy, and I hope you enjoy. Take care, Merry Christmas, and bye-bye.
The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. As white as lily flower, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to be our sweet Savior.
The rising of the sun and the running of the deer,
the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in